Just in case you didn't think I had one. I have used this robe for different occasions. The only other occasion I've ever used it for is to do weddings. And there is no wedding today that I know of, but if you have a license, I can do it, all right? So don't get scared, Arthur. Hallelujah. Well, this is an important time in our country, and I thought it was appropriate that I do something out of the ordinary for us. The Black Robe Regiment, it's a preacher or patriot? One of both? Maybe both, one or the other. And I've selected as a text for us this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, that I believe, as you'll see in just a moment, give us a lot of information. And this is John the Baptizer. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray this morning. Lord, we are here by divine commission. We are here, Lord, standing in the footprints, in the shadows, and on the shoulders of those who have gone on before us. Lord, for those patriots, Lord, who had a dream of a different kind of place, a nation where freedom of religion would exist and freedom for all mankind, a place where men stood in pulpits and proclaimed the truth, Lord, without fear of the consequences. And Lord, they all stand in the shadow of a man like John the Baptist, who stood and proclaimed truth that others might know the truth. And we thank you, Father, and we pray together in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Every man or woman who has ever stepped before a congregation to speak as the oracle of God has determined a balance between preaching and patriotism. Those two in America seem to go hand in hand. But there's been some attempts to make sure that that handshake was broken. John, in this passage of Scripture, sets a model for the New Testament preaching and patriotism. He used words. It said that, and with many words. I am a man of words, not of war in the normal sense that you would think of it, but who brings to light the Word of God. I remember when I first was called into the ministry, and Pat's aunt, who was a devoted Christian lady, she sat in my living room and she said, Morris, she said, preach the gospel. Preach the Bible. People do not need the Reader's Digest. They need to hear the Word of God. And those words have been with me now for all these many years, since that was back in 1972, 73, somewhere around there. So words, it's interesting that Jesus is called the Word of God. You know, the Scriptures talk about the Word being the sword of the Lord. So words are powerful. Some said that that the words are more powerful than the sword, and I believe that they really are. But not only did he use words, he preached the good news about Christ. It said that he preached good news. The only message that I have that has any relevance in America or throughout the world is the story of Jesus Christ. He is the centerpiece of all creation. He is the pivot by which the whole created universe revolves around. The incarnate Son of God who came to this place that men might be set free, not from the tyranny of government necessarily, but from the bondages of sin and the tyranny of the archenemy, the great deceiver, Satan, the devil himself. So any message that I would give to you that is devoid of Christ is a message of philosophy. It's a message of ideas. It's a message that is conjured up in the hearts and minds of men. I have no such message for you. For every word, every message, everything that I live and breathe and have my being is in the centerpiece of all creation, Jesus Christ. Paul said it best of all when he said, I propose to know nothing among you save this one thing. When the great Apostle Paul, probably one of the most educated and knowledgeable men, probably one of the greatest men save Christ, who ever walked the face of this earth, that man said, I propose to know nothing save this one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is what we must preach. That is the only thing that will change a life of a young boy, a young girl, an old man, an old woman, a city, a state, a nation of the world, is the message of Jesus Christ. Now, the other thing that John did is that he rebuked government officials. It said that he rebuked Herod the Tetrarch. Herod was a government official, and he was acting and doing things that he should not do, and John stood up and used the voice, the words, the message of Christ to stand against those things. One of the things that I want to bring up to you today is that I am fearful, not fearful, I know for a fact that the pulpits have been silent too long. We have forgotten who we are as men and women of God and have been quiet. We have not energized you or fully equipped you with the ideas, the hopes, and the ways that you could go forth out of these buildings, this building and buildings around the world, and go forth and do the work of the ministry. See, that is the job. The number one thing that I must do and others like me must do is to encourage you and equip you to do the work that needs to be done. He rebuked immorality where he saw it. He said, this man is living with Herodias, which is his brother's wife. Men of God must speak up against immorality. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon about this very subject. And if you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go to the internet and you can download the audio, or you can actually look at a video, or you can ask back there today and actually get a DVD or a CD, whichever you prefer, about immorality. I'm not going to preach that sermon again today, but men of God have a responsibility to do that. It's not all peaches and cream and, you know, prosperity and all the other things that people love to hear. There are times when evil immorality needs to be spoken about, and John did that and addressed that. He also addressed evil in the government. It says, in the other evil things the king had done. When there is corruption in government, the pulpit must not be silent, but the pulpit must speak out against those things. And because we have not spoken up with authority and a clear tone based on the Word of God, we are today reaping what the pulpits have failed to do. And that is the reason that I believe with all my heart that much of what is wrong in America is because the pulpits have been silent about these issues. So, it is time for men and women of God who have the authority and the position to stand before a congregation to once again follow the pattern laid by John the Baptist and proclaim those things that need to be heard about Jesus Christ when immorality exists or corruption exists, to speak out. Now, the other thing that they must do, they must be willing to suffer the consequences. There are consequences in what I say today. I was very proud of our newspaper, our local newspaper, the Slidell Independent, and its editor and owner, Kevin Cherry, who was brave enough to take the article that I wrote last week and publish it in his newspaper. And if you haven't seen that, I encourage you to get a copy of the Slidell Independent, because there are consequences, as we know, to speaking the truth. Now, there's a great debate about passive submission to authority or active actions towards government. There is a separation of church and state. It's not what you've heard, but there is a separation. I'm not much of a handyman, you know, working with my hands and doing those things, mostly because I only have one hand. But, you know, even with two hands, I was never really great about it. But my dad, who was very good with his hands, taught me about a little thing that plumbers use, and all the guys in here who know what it is will understand immediately. For the rest of you, I will explain what it is. He showed me the value of a check valve. How many of you people know what a check valve is? Let me see your hands. All right, some of you know. The others are going to learn. A check valve is a device, a metal device, about the size, you know, they come in various sizes, but it might be in the size of this eyeglasses case, that when connected to liquids, lets the liquid flow in one direction, but on the inside of it is a little valve. And when liquid tries to flow from the other direction, that valve closes and stops that liquid from getting in. You would use it in, say, a plumbing system where you wanted fresh water, clean water to go in one direction, but you didn't want, let's say, sewage water to back up in the other direction. So that's what a check valve does. It allows free flow in one direction, but it stops the other direction. The church has a duty, to be involved in the affairs of state. We must influence the affairs of state. That valve is open for us by the Word of God, by the principles of the Word of God, and the great heritage that we have to speak out against the things of state that are wrong, and to get involved and encourage you to be involved in the affairs of state for the things that are right. We have abandoned our governmental systems, from the local city councils and all the other positions that are available, all the way to the White House of the United States of America. We have abandoned it, and we are suffering the consequences because of that today. And that valve is open, it is ordained, and we must speak about those things. The check in the valve is that government is restricted from controlling the affairs of church. The government cannot tell us what to do within the confines of this building and the Word of God that we preach. They cannot muzzle us. They cannot shut us up. They cannot control the things that we say. Now, if I were to mention to you the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, by and large, most people would say free speech. It does contain that. But that's not its primary objective. Listen to the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. It says, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress cannot establish a church. It cannot set up the first church of the United States of America. It cannot do that. It's been prohibited from doing that. And it cannot prohibit the free exercise of what we do. The government cannot tell me what to do, and it cannot tell you what to do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the faith that we have. Men and women gave their lives to make sure that that was in the Constitution, and it was available for everyone to know. The reason they put this in here, because although it gives us that liberty in the Constitution, it wasn't clear enough, and this was done so there'd be no doubt about what it says. It says, free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, that's where we get the freedom of speech, or of the press. So we have freedom of speech. We can say what we want to say anytime we want to say it. But listen to me, that does not give me the right to stand on any street corner and use the profanity that I'd like to use. It does not give me the right to take the flag of the United States of America and trample it under my feet and burn it. That is not what our founding fathers had in mind when they put us together. They were talking about righteous, free, good, clean speech. And we have a right to do that. We have the right of dissent, but we do not have the right to say whatever we want to say, whatever the consequences may be. Or the right of the people, okay, for freedom of speech or the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We have the right to say to our government, this far and no more. We have the right to speak out against the things that are wrong in our government. We have been silent too long. Our voices have been quenched, and we have not said the things that need to be said. We haven't said it from the sacred desk, and we haven't said it from the sacred pews. We have been quiet too long. We have been too busy living the American dream, and the dream is turning into a nightmare because we haven't done it. We must speak out against the things that are wrong in our governmental system. I'll give you, for instance, the United States government has created a device called a non-profit organization, 501c corporation, so that if you were to contribute to that nonprofit corporation, the government generously says that you can deduct that amount from your income tax return, and therefore you derive a benefit from doing that. But what they did was they put a gag on the pulpits of America when they did that, because they said there are some things that I cannot say from this desk. And if I do so, they will revoke our 501c nonprofit corporation. And therefore, all the money that you would give and would try to deduct off your income tax, you couldn't do it. That has struck fear through our nation, and our pulpits have been quiet because they're afraid of losing their tax status. That is a violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. America and the government does not have the right to do that. They cannot control what takes place here, and that is much a hogwash, a trick by the devil in order to control what is said here. They have told me that I cannot say things, that I cannot tell you who to vote for, that I cannot get you going in a particular political direction. And if I invite person A, who is running for political office, to speak here, then I also need to invite person B so that they get equal access under a nonprofit corporation rules and regulations. Let me tell you what. I've said it before, I'm going to say it today so you hear me loud and clear. I will not submit to that. I will not submit to that. And if that bothers you in your finances, you've got a lot of things to think about. You have some problems you need to get right about. I just recently found out about this, and if I'd have known about it, I'd have joined in with them. There were a group of pastors who stood up and on purpose violated the 501c corporation rules of, and the things that they said in the pulpit. They made transcripts of their sermons, put them in the Federal Express or some other kind of device, and sent them to the IRS and said, take your best shot, bud. We'll see you in court. Because that is unconstitutional. It will not stand if it's ever challenged. By the way, if the IRS knows this, they just use a fear tactic, and they have never, so far as the things that I've read, ever invoked that rule. Because they know it will not stand. It's a fear tactic that's being used. The 1776 pulpits exposed evil and led the way to independence. That's what they did. They spoke up against what was wrong, and they led the way. Well, today I want to discuss, that's the introduction, By the way, just by word of information for you, I will probably not get through all the information that I have for you this morning. So therefore, relax. There will be a part two to this sermon. Okay? But I want to talk to you about why I've donned this black robe to preach and why preachers must be patriots. Okay? The first thing is, there is a historical precedent to join the Black Robe Regiment. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. The boys had just been turned loose by the Holy Spirit to go preach the word. And boy, they were out there doing their job. And they were ruffling a lot of feathers as they were saving a lot of souls. They ruffled so many feathers that the magistrates, the government, stepped in. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name, and that name being Jesus, all right? Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. And here's their position. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So they made a decision that no matter the consequences, they would not be quiet about the things that Christ had taught them, and they would be sure that everyone knew who Jesus was, no matter what they might suffer in the meantime. In the early 1700s, here in America, the state and church clashed in a Herodian, following Herod, governmental. As this Herodian-type government began to rise up in the colonies. The British Crown, this is a little history lesson for you, was repressing the colonies by instituting illegal laws. What they were doing was illegal. It was against their laws in England, and it was against the laws here in the colony. That's what they were doing. That was one of the things that got everyone upset. Now listen to me. There's a school of thought that says, well, they were just a bunch of, wild rebels who just didn't care and just did whatever they wanted to do. This took years and years. They appealed to the crown. They sent envoys to the crown. They wrote articles and letters. They passed resolutions in order to make peace with the crown so that they had no intention of leaving the crown. There wasn't any reason for it other than when King George III came to power and he began to crush the spirit of the colonies in which they believed in God and in the ways of God. They forced outrageous taxes on the people. England was deep in debt. She had been fighting wars. She needed money. So she decided a good place to turn the spigot of money on was right here in America. You know what? I keep hearing that same spigot being cranked open today. Just tax and tax and tax. When I was in college, I read an article by Karl Marx. And you know what he said? That the way America would fall is that the government would tax them so much that there would finally be a tax revolt. And when the revolt for taxes came, there'd be such confusion in the nation that communism would rise up and take over the nation. When I read that, and that was back in the 60s, I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Not so dumb today. Not so dumb today. The crown created laws that did not include any input from the citizens. The citizens were not asked for their input. Then when their input was given, it was just ignored. They said, we're going to do it our way. Does that sound like the Congress of the United States of America concerning Obamacare? That's exactly what they did. The vast majority of Americans said, no, we do not want this. There are problems. Everyone agrees that there are problems in the healthcare system. But the President of the United States, in a meeting with Republican representatives, in a showcase to show that he was magnanimously talking with the Republicans, said there are consequences to elections. In other words, look out, boys. The train is running through. And they ran it through. They passed a piece of legislation that this country cannot afford. And if you've been listening to the news at all, you know that some of the things that are in that bill are not what they said they would be, and that the cost of this thing is astronomical. We've already been affected by it. You probably have too. You might have seen your insurance premiums going up, or in the case with Patsy, the company's just going out of business. Won't even cover us anymore. Those are some of the unforeseen things that were in there, but no one took the time to read. Save your preacher. I read it. I read over 1,000 pages of that gobbledygook. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl ever born upon the face of the earth could read that piece of junk and understand it. And I have a good education. And I have great reading comprehension. And I couldn't understand. I couldn't figure it out. And that's exactly what they wanted. They didn't want us to figure it out. That's exactly what was going on back in the 1700s. No input from the citizenry at all. The crown ignored the laws and ruled by whim. There were laws that had been passed by the colonies, had been passed by Britain to protect this fledgling colonization, this part of the crown here on these shores, and those laws were ignored. You can't just ignore laws. The righteous laws that they had already set up. But King George III had other ideas. Well, let me give you a quote from the Declaration of Independence. In fact, if you haven't read the Declaration of Independence, I'd encourage you, since you're not going to be eating today, since we're fasting tomorrow, just go break that baby out. Go get on your computers and read the blooming thing and see what it says. Carefully crafted. These men for freedom read. This is one part of it. For taking away our charters, took away their charters. They had legal right to exist. Abolishing our most valuable laws and altering fundamentally the form of our governments. For suspending our legislators, they suspended the legislature. Said, y'all can't meet. I mean, that's a pretty serious offense. And declaring themselves invested with powers to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. And there's more. But that gives you some of the legal grounds for why there was a Declaration of Independence. It had gone too far. Now, a groundswell of independence from England rose up. The pastors, the Black Robe Regiment, were by and large the most educated people in the community, as you could well imagine. They went to the colleges, to the divinity schools. They were very well educated. Most of the people in America were not very well educated at that time. You know, people, not everyone was able to read and write, those kinds of things. They were the most informed. They were readers. They knew. They were aware of what was happening. And here's the thing. They were the most respected men in the community. A far cry from what we see today. A far cry from what we see today. These educated, knowledgeable, informed, and respected men stood in their pulpits and told the congregation, the people of the colonies, what was going on so that they would be educated and know. That they might understand. People working in the fields didn't have time, if they did have the education, to read and know everything that they need to know. That's one of the things that pastors do. We have time to study and to read and to know. But it's not just the Word of God. It's about what is going on in our country, in our society. We have a responsibility to do that. And I'm going to show you some examples of that in just a little while. The cry rose up. A cry rose up against the tyrannical British. And that cry was this: no king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. That cry needs to be heard once again. There is no controller of us other than King Jesus himself. We submit to him and his God-ordained righteous governmental systems. King George was infuriated, as you can well imagine. Who are those upstarts giving me grief? After all, I am the king of the British crown. He was not a happy camper. He had received reports about him being roasted on Sunday morning. He had heard reports about what was being said. In fact, some of the sermons that were said were printed and sent to him so he would know. And by the way, just when John Hancock signed the Declaration of Independence, and the reason John Hancock's name is so well known for signing it is because it's so big. And when John Hancock signed that declaration, he said, I want to sign it very, very big because the king has bad eyes. And he can't see without his spectacles. And I want him to know that I'm the one who signed this thing. Oh, wow. That's historical fact. He, being the king, referred to those pastors as that black robe insurrectionist. Well, that's all the fuel that the guys needed. Nothing gets a preacher pumped up like somebody telling him that he's not doing the right thing, especially when it comes from the crown of England. And those insurrectionists became the Black Robe Regiment. I'm not real sure exactly how the name got to them, because it ended up in the on the front pages of newspapers. They began to be referred to that as the Black Robe Regiment or the Black Robe Brigade. I like Black Robe Regiment a little bit better. Both of those names seem to have been used interchangeably. The exploits of the Black Robe Regiment were legendary. General George Washington, the head of the Colonial Army, asked a pastor by the name of John, interesting, his name was John Muhlenberg, who you see right here. He asked him if he would help him to raise up a militia. They needed men of arms. And can you imagine? The general went to the preacher to ask him to get men to join in the Colonial Army. That's exactly what he did. Said that they needed some help. Muhlenberg delivered a powerful sermon, it's been said, from Ecclesiastes chapters 3, verses 1 through 8, which speaks of a time for, you know, this and a time for that, time for this. And this is the way that he ended the sermon. The Bible tells us there is a time for all things. And there is a time to preach and a time to pray. But the time for me to preach has passed away. And there is a time to fight. And that time has come now. This is the time to fight. Call for the recruits. Sound the drums. And when he did so, he surprised everyone, as I did for you this morning. And I've got a little spotter up here you can see. And he took, you see this right here? That is his black robe falling to the ground as he took it off to reveal the uniform of the of a Virginia colonel uniform. When he did so, he reached behind his pulpit, grabbed a musket, watch began to march out of the church, and over 300 men of the congregation rose up, grabbed their guns, and went to war with him. Muhlenberg became a general in the Continental Army under Washington. He was very instrumental in the fight against the British, was very well decorated, had done just a marvelous job. When the war was over, he was involved in the writing, as I understand, of the Constitution of the United States. He became elected to Congress, and he served in Congress until he died. When he, in the year 1889, a marble statue of John Muhlenberg. Now, just think of this is 1889. Just think of it being done in 2010. It's not going to happen. A marble statue, and that is what you see a picture of right here, of John Muhlenberg, was put in the Capitol building of the United States of America, where it stands to this very day in Statuary Hall in the Rotunda. A man of God who stood up for what was right and went to war because our nation needed him. I am here to tell you that our nation needs us now. It needs the men in the pulpit, the women in the pulpit, and it needs those of you in the pews to rise up and to do something about what is wrong in America and to begin to be vocal. Forget that crazy adage that we don't discuss religion and politics. We must discuss religion and politics. We must proclaim Christ, and we must look for righteous men and women who are willing to serve in our governmental system.
Amen.
Without the Black Robe Regiment of 1776, we would still be a crown colony today. You'd still be sending your tax money to England. You'd still be paying homage to the king and queen, whoever they may be. That's where you'd be today had it not been for these men who stood up for righteousness. Had it not been for the Black Robe Regiment, there would be no Declaration of Independence. There would be no statement that says, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It would not have happened had it not been for the pulpits of the colonies. There would be no U.S. Constitution had it not been for the Black Robe Regiment. They were the tip of the sword. They were the group that broke through the darkness so that men and women would know what was happening undercover. There would be no Bill of Rights that gives you certain rights as a citizen. They would not exist. You'd be under the thumb and the dominion of a foreign government. That's what you'd be. And there'd be no Statue of Liberty. No beacon of hope for people around the world. This place called America is so different from anything that's ever existed before. A land of not a people of race, but a people of thought and mind and hope and faith in Christ alone. And we've opened our doors that those could come. Bring me your huddled masses. Those of you who are being persecuted and hurt, come to our shores. Someone said that you could go to any nation in the world and live there all your life, but you can never be a true citizen. You'll never be a Frenchman living in France. You'll never be an Englishman living in England. But you can come to America and you can be one of us. You'll be received and loved and embraced. Listen to me, friends. That didn't just happen. That is the Scripture embracing people and telling them to come in. Or as it says on our back wall here, come home, all is forgiven. Our governmental system is permeated with the gospel of Christ. From the first words of in God we trust. That's who we are. And when people, even the President of the United States, Mr. Obama, who says we are not a Christian nation, Mr. Obama and anyone else who believes that needs to change their thinking, because that is the foundation and the bedrock of who we are. If we cease to be a Christian nation, we cease to be America. What we will be, I have no idea, but we will not be what the founding fathers and the Black Robe Regiment ever intended us to be. Today, men of the cloth, to use that old expression, are once again beginning to stand up. They're preaching what's right according to the Scriptures. Preaching from this old black book, if you will. Going back and digging out sermons. Reading sermons. I've been reading some of the sermons that were spoken in back in the 1700s to see what these men had on their mind and on their hearts. back to the Bible, as that radio broadcast says. Need to get back to the Bible. And you know what? It's not just a pulpit that needs to get back to the Bible. You need to get back to the Bible. You need to know what's in it. You need to dig it out for yourselves. You need to find out what's in that book. It has the words of life for you to help you to how to live. Much of what is wrong in our individual lives and the reason our compasses are so skewed and broken in life is that we have not got to the Bible. There's a, and I hesitated to tell you the story, but I'll tell you anyway. There's a new TV program. One of my favorite actors that I like to watch, Tom Selleck. And he's got a new TV program called Blue Bloods. And I'm not trying to get you to spend time with that. But they are doing something that is really, really unique. They are talking about God on that program. Now, this is not some Christian-promoted group, but they are promoting family. They have a little rule that everybody gets together and sits around the table and eats dinner together. How novel. And the patriarch of the family, or the head at this time, Tom Selleck, prays over their meal. Prays and asks God's blessings over their meal. Wow. That's a shocker. That's a shocker. Now, I don't know all that's going on. I'm not, you might look at it next week, be the worst program you ever seen. So I'm not certainly saying you should do that. But that's what needs to happen in our homes, in our families. See, the world is not changed by governments. The families are not changed by governments. It's Christ in His Word that changes things for the good. I might correct myself and say things are changed, but not for the good. If you want things to be changed for the good, if you want to live in a better town, a better community, it'll be done by the Word of God. We have men that are standing up as heralds against corrupt government and politicians. I was in the doctor's office this week, and I was handed this by a friend of mine that works there. And this is an article about David Jeremiah. I don't know if you all know David Jeremiah. He's a well-respected preacher. Here's a quote from this article that he said. Well, the pastor admits he does not know the president's heart. He does believe Obama's politics are not representative of what the Bible teaches about what should be done in a time such as this. I do not believe he has been an asset to the country. I don't believe he has moved us towards a good direction. And frankly, I'm praying about, with many other believers, that in this midterm election, we will find a way to slow down this train that seems to be moving us towards socialism and away from our historical moorings. Dr. Jeremiah explains, I'm really frightened about that, and I think in that respect, I believe he is a dangerous person. The White House contacted David Jeremiah because he spoke that in a public forum. Thank God for David Jeremiah. I wonder if the IRS will be trying to revoke his 501c corporate structure. I don't believe David give a hoot. I don't think he cares. We are finally seeing men rise up and speak out against illegal laws. There are laws that are illegal that have been passed in this country. Probably the one that you're most familiar one with is the law about abortion. It is an illegal law. Therefore, I do not support it, and neither should you. And we should speak out against it at every opportunity. That is the murder of a child in the womb. You cannot legislate and say that that is legal just because someone wants to do it. Someone wants to have choice. Your freedom of choice is limited. It's limited in what you can do. We do not have unlimited freedom. We have freedoms that are surrounded by the Word of God. as much as it upsets the liberal portion of our society, our governmental systems were written by men of God who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and our documents are permeated with that thought and that idea. In fact, anywhere you go in Washington, D.C., and if you haven't been there, you need to go, and you'll look around, you'll see God on virtually every statue. In fact, on the Washington Monument, you may or may not know this, that great tall pinnacle that pierces the sky in Washington, D.C., it's better than a GPS system. Because I was up in Washington before we had GPS systems, and you can never get lost in Washington. Just look for Washington. Now, there's more to that than just a statue. But in that great tower, and I don't know how tall it is, but it's big, on the capstone, there are some lights to keep the planes from flying into it. They had to add that to it. But on the top, written in Latin, are the words, "To God be the glory." To God be the glory. There are some liberals who'd like to get up there with a chisel and take it down. But they're going to have to get over Mr. Washington and all of the preachers who supported him and the Black Robe Regiment all the way down to today to stop that kind of thing from happening. Men are standing up for the sanctity of marriage. It is not, listen to me, it is not okay for people of the same sex to be married. By definition, marriage, according to the scripture, is between one man and one woman. It doesn't matter if that's politically incorrect or if people would say that you're homophobic for saying it. It is God's truth. That is the fabric of society. A man and a woman united in marriage. By definition, marriage is that. You cannot change it. It's one of the most unchangeable things of society, of the universe, of mankind. It's not okay. It doesn't matter if everyone in the world votes for it. It'll never be right. Some things don't get a vote. That does not get a vote. Thank goodness the Pope will begin to broadcast this again. There's a new day. A new day. As the Black Robe Regiment speaks out once again. To let you, the people, know the truth about what's happening. I want to go on just a little bit further and talk about another reason. And that is there are God-ordained principles to join the Black Robe Regiment. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 4. The authorities are God's servant, and I've got this underlined for you, God's servant, sent for your good. Some people have missed that little phrase right there. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. The United States was established not solely for the vision of the founding fathers, but on the unchanging principles of God that He ordained to govern men. On January 30th, 1750, a well-known pastor of his day, the Reverend John Mayhew, preached a sermon about this particular passage of Scripture about obedience to authorities. I hope in not too distant future, and I may do it next week, I don't know, to take John Mayhew's sermon and to preach it to you. It won't be word for word, but I'll just extract the ideas out because it's a very, very powerful sermon. I have here just an excerpt from it. We may very safely assert these two things in general without undermining government. In other words, we can say this without undermining government. One is that no civil ruler is to be obeyed when they enjoin things that are inconsistent with the commands of God. All such disobedience is lawful and glorious, particularly if persons refuse to comply with any legal establishment of religion, because it is a gross perversion and corruption as to doctrine, worship, and principle of a pure and divine religion brought from heaven to earth by the Son of God, the only King and head of the Christian Church, and propagated through the world by his inspired apostles. He's saying that if anything is contrary to the message of the apostles, if any law, any regulation is put up that is contrary to the biblical teachings, that should not be a law to be obeyed. Now, all commands running counter to the declared will of the supreme legislature of heaven and earth are null and void. And therefore, disobedience to them is a duty, not a crime. Another thing that may be assessed with equal truth and safety is that no government is to be submitted to at the expense of that which is the sole end of all government. Listen, the common good and safety of society. And when government ceases to do that, which was happening back in these days, this is 1750, 25 years before the Declaration of Independence. So it gives you an idea. This was going on for some time. It's a long period of time. 25 years before Mayhew preached this sermon. Before there was ever any great, great groundswell to break away from the king. You see, authority is not valid if it contradicts the word of God. The Black Robe Regiment recognizes lawful these attributes in a government. Government has a God-ordained duty to preserve, protect, and defend the people they govern. That is government's job. To protect us. To do what's necessary. To do good. Those key words, back up that slide for me, Jim. Sent for your good. When the government asks you to do things that are wrong, such as abortion, that government ceases to be valid. And that law should not be obeyed. Government must recognize that it derives its authority from God. And any government that believes that it gets its authority from itself is wrong. God gives us a governmental system. He ordains it, but for our good. And when a government is not doing for good, it ceases to be a valid God-ordained government. A government that murders people by the millions, some 50 million, 60 million people murdered in our country. Places like Cambodia, where people are murdered by the millions. People in China that are murdered by the millions. Cease to be valid. And the people have a right to do something about it. That's what Mayhew was saying. Any government that fails, let me back up there. Government, the third thing I want to say, is government must recognize that people derive certain rights from God. That we have rights that have been given to us by God. God ordained that so. Go read the book. That's what it says. The writers of the Declaration of Independence used some of that theology writing their document. And I'm going to read you some excerpts from the Declaration of Independence. assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. In other words, the things you're entitled to from God himself. Just look around. God, just look around at nature itself. And you know that you have certain things you should have. We hold these truths to be self-evident. They're self-evident. You can see these things to be true. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God has provided that for you. The government does not give you that right. God gives you that right. The government recognizes it. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In other words, we say, yes, that's right, government, you're doing the right thing, and we're with you. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, this is the Declaration of Independence. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Those are strong words. This is not talking about, I don't like the cameras on the things where they take pictures of because I ran a red light. That's not it. That's not this. This is not rules and regulations that you don't like. I'd like to drive on the left-hand side of the road instead of the right-hand side of the road. You know? Not talking about societal things. We're talking about the heart of things. What's at the heart of things? We have a great foundation built by our founding fathers, laid for us in their very blood, that we would have a great nation founded on the principles of God. Go read what our founding fathers said, what they wrote. People like John Adams and Hamilton and Jefferson and others, what they wrote, what they said. What the Supreme Court said. The Supreme Court said that the Bible should be read in every classroom across America. And an illegal law was passed that said you can't do it. And we let it happen. If government passes laws that are contrary to God, they must be disobeyed. Such laws as forced abortion. You say, well, that'll never happen here. It's happening in China. You think it won't happen here? You better wake up, folks. Euthanasia. There is law right now. There are legal people being prosecuted by the government of the United States for refusing to assist in abortions because of religious views. Doctors and nurses are being forced to do abortions. Right here. In the good old US of A. And people are refusing and suffer consequences for it. Laws that erode God's principles, such as homosexual marriages, taxes used for embryo stem research, any such law is a law that we cannot obey. We must stand up for righteousness. Not your opinion, but what does the Word of God say about these things? They must understand that any law that restricts Christian faith must be disobeyed. Any law that attempts to control what we do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must be disobeyed. Do you know And if you don't know, I'm going to tell you that the things, and, I, and oddly enough, I was planning on saying, and I heard it this morning by another black robed regiment guy, whether he knows it or not, that if I was to say what I'm saying right now in Canada or in Australia, I would be arrested for hate crimes. Think it won't happen here? The legislation is already being written to make it happen. Must understand, and I'm going to close with this last thing, must understand that any such disobedience has consequences. As John the Baptist went to jail and he died for standing up against the authorities for what was right. Martin Luther King Jr. went to jail and was executed by some citizen who didn't like what he had to say. Where he stood up for what was right against laws in his country that were wrong. Thank God for Martin Luther King Jr. and what he did to help the American people, you and me. It was wrong to have segregation. We're in the Deep South. We had it here. We had black and white drinking fountains. We had restaurants. I remember as a boy where the black people had to go stand in a line by a restaurant, by a little window, in order to get food out of a restaurant because they weren't allowed on the inside of it. I remember when they couldn't get in the bus, they had to sit behind a sign that said, colored only. Thank God Martin Luther King Jr. stood up and said no, cost him his life. The apostles spent much of their lives in jail for standing up for what was right. And many lost their lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up for righteousness in Germany, Nazi Germany, and was imprisoned and hung in an extermination camp. Believers around the world are suffering and dying for their faith today. Why not you? I'm not going to take this robe off and reveal the United States of America uniform and going off to war. But I am asking you to fight. I'll tell you where you can fight. There's a skirmish right now you can fight. And that's to spend the next 3 days in prayer and fasting. You don't have to put on a uniform to do that. You just have to believe that your prayers and your fasting can do something. We're going to meet here tomorrow night and Tuesday night, even though it's election day, after you vote, make sure you vote. We're going to gather here and we're going to pray. That's the weapons of our warfare. It's prayer and fasting and speaking truth. That's what we do. I've got lots more to say, but I'm going to save it for next week because the mind can only retain with the derriere can endure. And I think you've been hurt enough for one day. I encourage you to prayerfully consider the things that I've said today. Some of it may be new to you. Some of it may be contrary to some of the things that you may have heard and believe. I feel that I am standing on very, very solid ground based on history, based on those Black Robe Regiment who went before me, but most of all, based on the Word of God. Let's all stand.